That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more. When it does. It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live this 7th day of September already. Woo! Well, happy September. We got John on the line. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
We got a terrible phone connection with John, but Kyle's here. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
We got a good connection with Kyle. So, John, maybe you'll just need to come down to the ranch from now on with on Saturday morning. Then you shouldn't have to leave your house, but by about 5:30, I guess, huh? Well, we welcome.
I'm gonna try a different phone. Hang on a second.
Okay.
Well, you can go ahead and talk.
All right. We welcome you, the remnant, to joining us as well. Beautiful Saturday morning. Got a few clouds here at the Radio Ranch, but what a sunrise. I'm sure
beautiful.
You caught it, Kyle. Yeah. It was in your rearview mirror the whole way out, wasn't it?
It was.
And, it's a beautiful day here. And
of course, it doesn't get light as soon as it used to.
No?
It used to wake me up in the mornings coming in our bedroom window, but
yep.
Now it's still dark when I'm getting up.
It's still changing a little bit. It is. Those seasons are, so... But we welcome you, and we'll open the phone lines up early this morning. We've got several things to share with you, but sometimes it's just kind of like open mic night at maybe a little restaurant or bar, and it's going to be open mic day today and open phone line day. But we're going to start out with a word of prayer, and then we'll sure turn things over to just whichever way it goes. Well, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here at the Radio Ranch microphone, to be broadcasting out, to have fellowship with each other and also, Lord, with you and also with the remnant as they call in and as we get the opportunity to speak with them and hopefully to encourage them and to be encouraged by them. We thank you for this opportunity, Father. Guide and direct our hearts and our words. Lead us to the places in your scripture and your word that you want us to read and to share with each other. That, Lord, it would be that. It would be edifying and encouraging. Lord, help us to concentrate on the good news of the gospel, that your Son came and died to redeem us, to buy us back, to bring us back into relationship with you. Lord, we know that the world goes right back to Babylon. It's neck deep in Babylon. It has the attitude of Egypt. But Lord, we have been redeemed. And help us to remember that. Help us to encourage one another as these days go on. We welcome you here with us as well, Holy Spirit. We gather in your name and ask you to join us, direct us, and let all that we think, say, and do be a blessing to you, a blessing to the remnant. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And we'll see if John's other phone worked any better. John's that other phone working any better?
No.
Oh,
try
no.
to call me on my cell phone, will
you? Okay, I'll do that.
Bye-bye.
We'll talk to you in a minute.
All right, his cell number is.
Oh, yeah. Write this down, folks. No, we better not do that. But, well, Kyle, how has your week been here at the ranch?
Oh, it's been good. We're wrapping up the hay season. There's not as much as we would like, but we got quite a bit of hay, and so that's good. And I think I said a couple weeks ago, it's kind of the gravy of the work out here. More for me than Richard, because when the machines break down, Richard kind of has to scramble to try to get those things running again. With me, I just drop, you know, kind of hop on a different machine and take off again. So it's a little more gravy for me than him. But the weather, like you said, Richard, before, I mean, it's like it's a month or two behind. We're getting the 1st of August weather here and the 1st of September. I think it was 97 yesterday in Denver.
I'm glad I'm not in Denver.
But you know, that puts us in the 80s usually.
Yeah, we have been in the mid 80s.
Yeah,
unseasonably warm.
And that is good for the hay. And good for us, you know, because it's going to be cold soon enough.
Yes. I can't help but think of the scripture that he sends the good weather in its season.
Yes.
You know, the rains when they're supposed to be here. Now, sometimes we think it's supposed to be different. But, you know, I mean, he is the creator after all. He did kind of hang the stars and put the clouds in the sky and the, you know, and I don't think our people realize it, you know, and the Bible tells us, you know, he put the ocean where the ocean is and he said, that's as far as you can come. And he lets it float a little bit back and forth with the tides and, you know, I mean, who would have thought to have a moon up there to regulate the tides?
God.
He did.
It's easy to forget all that stuff, isn't
it?
Yep.
It is. But he says, you know, he sets the seas where they are. And you know, you ever think about this? You know, they say all the oceans run into the, or all the rivers run into the ocean, right? How come it never overflows? You know? I mean, he has this balance made up and set for us. And I think many times we tend to forget that, you know, we buy into the lie of, oh, it's just, you know, the Big Bang Theory and evolution or it's just, hey, that's how Mother Nature is, and that couldn't be any further from the truth. It's how God is, who owns the cattle on the thousand hills, and he owns the thousand hills. He owns all the hills. The earth is the Lord's and all that dwell therein. And, you know, I think sometimes it's good to just thank him for the beautiful sunrises that he gives us, for the beautiful sunsets, for the, you know, the color. You ever think, I remember talking to the pastor about it, you know, God didn't have to make this world full of color. It could have been all black and white and gray.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, when you see, especially now we've got the rain, so we've got the grass is green and the sky is blue. And he didn't have to do all that. But he did. Well, guys, the phone's ringing already, so why don't we go over to it? We'll go to it. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, guys. This is Debbie from Oklahoma.
Good morning.
Good morning. You guys said something last week, I think it was, and I was wondering if you could explain it further, and also I had two other questions. But
oh, goodness.
The one topic was why we should not drink the wine, the whole onos or whatever. You know, the Hebrew word or the Greek word, and then the deal about the pork. I've been trying to do research on it, and it's very confusing on all that. And then the other thing was, last week, you guys mentioned about the British, what's it called, British Israelite, something
British Israelism?
Yeah, and that your beliefs were different than that. Could you kind of explain what the two are and how you're different?
Sure, Debbie. I don't recall about the wine.
No, me either.
Oh, no, you didn't bring that up. It's just something I've been trying to figure out, whether it's wine or grape juice.
Well, Kyle?
I'll go with it. It's fruit of the vine. Now, some people have a stumbling block with wine. So I know the pastor years ago, they used to do wine in the church. But because of the stumbling blocks that some have, they went to grape juice. The church I grew up in was always wine. And then I've heard, you know, other church denominations that forbid wine. They think that that's wrong. And if they don't have faith in wine and only grape juice, then I suggest they take only grape juice. But it is actually the fruit of the vine, and so both are covered. Now, we never grew up mixing water with it because we didn't know. You know, well, Pastor Peter's kind of taught to add a little water to it because what came out of Jesus Christ on the cross was blood and water. And that's what it's all about, is representing that blood and water that came out of his body. Now, if you have a problem with wine and it hinders your faith, you know, I suggest you read Romans 14, and it talks about faith and others not judging your faith. If some have, think that it should only be wine and not grape juice, then I suggest they have wine and not judge the one that has grape juice. It shouldn't be a contention, even though it is in the church, because the words, you know, when I first came to La Porte, you know, that was one of the first questions I asked was about communion. Is can anybody take it? Because I knew that only baptized people should take it. And do you take wine? And Pastor Peter said to me, he goes, well, the Bible says fruit of the vine. And I wanted to say, no, it says wine. But I went home and studied it and thought, no, it says fruit of the vine. You know, so you know, there should be no contention over it, is what I'm saying. And it's,
okay.
Does that cover it for you, Debbie?
Does that cover the wine
does
issue?
Does that answer the question?
Yeah, the wedding at Cana, though, I just have trouble with whether Jesus would have provided a bunch of alcoholic drinks to people so they get drunk and fight.
Well, you know, many times, I know my mom was raised in the church, and she detested any type of drink, but she had two brothers that were alcoholics, that died alcoholics, and things like that. And the Bible doesn't forbid drinking wine. It doesn't forbid drinking beer. It talks about in Proverbs even strong drink. But what the Bible does teach is moderation.
Yeah.
And it teaches, not to be a drunkard, not to be a sluggard. And so, kind of the same principle that Kyle was talking about. If you have somebody that that can't drink without getting drunk, well, they're told not to be a drunkard, so they shouldn't drink. It does talk about, you know, getting drunk and things like that, and those are things that as Christians we are to abstain from. You know, we're not to be a drunkard. We're not to be the sluggard, and and we're not to be, I think Proverbs somewhere talks about give the poor man strong drink or something like that. We're not to be the poor man, but in all things, moderation. When I think that I've always thought, when Christ provided wine, he turned the water into wine at a wedding. You know, that's a time for celebration. Now, does that mean it's a time to get rip-roaring drunk and fight and all that? No, that's not how we are to be. But to celebrate a wedding, and I have a wedding to go to this afternoon, and, you know, I don't know if they'll have wine there or not, but it'll still be a time of celebration and a time of joy and happiness and that type thing. And so, you know, we just have to be careful not to read into the scripture more than is there, you know, nor do we want to take away or bend the scripture to make it fit how we think it is. We take the scripture for what it is.
And then, you know, then there's the New Testament scripture where it says to take a little wine for your stomach's sake. That can't, you know, that's not the same word as the fruit of the vine.
Right.
It's wine, you know, it's the word of God. You know, you can dispute over it, and you can get choked up over it, but it's like you said, Richard, it's all about moderation. Everything
Everything is in life. You know, you can love to golf, but it needs to be in moderation, everything that you do. Yes. And so Debbie, that verse always comes to my mind in helping to explain anything to do with alcohol. You know, we take the whole scriptures, all of it, Old and New Testament. And, you know, are we to get drunk and fight and all that? No, not at all. And then as far as for the pork, was the question just that, you know, should we eat it or not, or didn't it get cleaned, or what?
Should we eat it or not?
No, we shouldn't. It's one of the dietary health laws that were given by a loving Heavenly Father that cares for His creation. You know, we don't eat skunk. I don't know anybody eats skunk. The American Indians used to eat skunk.
Really?
But nobody else that I know of eats skunk. The Bible says don't eat skunk. No, very few people eat eagles or hawks, you know, or things like that. The Bible says not to. It says not to eat the pork as well. It's not a salvation issue. It just might get you quicker to find out if you really got salvation or not. Because it's unhealthy for us, and there's, you know, we don't have time in the program to go through all the different things. We do carry a little book by Charles Wiseman called Essential Health Issues, and it's just a little paperback book, and it, I think, goes into a little more detail as to some of the specifics. But it's been for our health.
Yeah, and that's where you'll run into some problems is. Because a lot of people, when they first come into that knowledge of, like, Bible food laws, they'll use it in such a way that people think that they're talking about salvation issues.
Right, and it's not a salvation issue.
It's a health issue.
It is.
And you get benefits from avoiding unclean foods.
Right. And then in the Bible, wherever it is, when Peter sees the vision, and many people will say, oh, well, see, no, God cleansed all the food right there, because it says that in parentheses, meaning it's been added to the word. But if you read all of that, and it just escapes me exactly where that is.
It's Acts 10.
Yeah, Acts 10 and 11. We see that the vision of the unclean food had nothing to do with food. Peter never ate of it. It had to do with unclean men, what they had called men as being unclean. And it's such it really is a simple thing if we would read.
And that can be proved by going back to Hosea 2:18, which is where it calls them the disobeying harlotry house of Israel, all those things that Peter seen in the vision.
Yeah.
The four-footed beasts, the creeping, crawling things, the fowls of the air. That's where, and it's otherwise known as Gentiles.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And but the ones that say you can eat all things, that they like to go to that, even though it's talking about, you know,
men. And not food. and it's an obedience thing too. You know,
there's several messages on that too. We just played them here several weeks ago.
Yeah, we did.
You can order those two messages if you didn't see them.
Yeah, it's number 504 and 505, Bible Food Laws, Part 1 and 2. And the pastor, as always, just does an excellent job in just pointing out all those issues that we mentioned. And then we got a couple callers. We'll get to them, caller, in just a second. The last one, British Israelism, a quick rundown, Cliff Notes. They believe that the two northern tribes are still the Jews.
Southern.
Of Judah. Southern.
Yeah.
The southern tribes.
Okay.
Whereas the Anglo-Israel message is that it's all the tribes, and that those that call themselves Jews today are of the Revelation 2:9 and 3:9, that they are not the ancient Israelites and Hebrews of the Bible, but they are imposters. They are the Khazars. They are those that, that call themselves Jews but are not, and it's been that way. And so, but British Israelism separates those two out and says, no, those that Judah is, that's the Jews today, and then Ephraim and Manasseh is England and America and all that, and it's that's a big kind of a real quick cliff note on it.
Yeah, you
so
go.
That's what Glenn Beck was referencing.
Well, and Glenn Beck's a Mormon, so that gets into a lot of other stuff that the Mormons, because the Mormons have some lean somewhat that way along the lines of the of that. So
yeah,
okay.
Well, Deb,
thank
hope that helped.
Sure. And those were all great questions.
Oh, absolutely.
That you can spend show after show on
any
know,
one
yeah,
of them. So
yeah, absolutely,
Debbie, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And callers, we'll get right to you. We're sorry. Thanks for holding. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning, Richard. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Tom and
morning, Tom.
Good to hear you all live. I was listening to that. Amazing how medical scientists plagiarized the Bible. I mean, for all that they discover, they think it's some new thing about worms or cholesterol in animal fat, and the Bible says we're not supposed to eat it.
Yeah,
you know, it's the science is, like I've wrote in some emails to you, that science is the knowledge of creation, not its opposite. And I tell people that, and where do you get your doctrine? How to read, know how to observe creation.
Right. Good point, Tom.
It's I heard you were saying, mention the Big Bang Theory, and it's amazing how all these, you know, moronic these secular physicists are. Everything's a theory this, theory that. You know, there's string theory. Well, our pastor taught us here, you know, everything's all about frequency, which is all about string quantum mechanics. Or even prayer is based on string quantum mechanics, which that's defined as the... Well, they call it a theory, a mathematical theory that tries to explain certain phenomena which is not currently explainable under standard model of quantum physics. Well, what's a miracle? It's unexplainable to them.
Right.
But we know, well, string quantum mechanics is the, well, where miracles are worked to happen, are affected upon by your belief. You act upon your belief and faith to make them happen, like Jesus did. Greater than this shall you do.
Right. The things unseen. The things unseen.
Yeah, Tom, I appreciate some of those emails you've sent.
You can
explain it in a different level than I can, that's for sure. You know.
Yeah, me too.
But yet with the same exact spiritual meaning.
Yeah.
You know? Yep.
Yeah, it shows it. It shows it. And like you had mentioned, Tom, it does. It shows it from observing nature, from observing the creation that he's given us. But you do. You explain it off.
Okay, there's the Big Bang. Okay, there was a Powell that started all time and space. Well, that first intelligent being formed out of that. Well, yeah. Who would that have been?
Yes.
You know,
God Almighty.
Who was with him? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Right.
See.
Yeah, so it sort of was a Big Bang theory, wasn't it?
there would be no theory about it. They call everything a theory, being an unsubstantiated opinion. It's like they feel like they're intelligent, like a lot of people in the, you know, church world, religion world, theological things. You're British Israelism, or you're the lost tribes. And I'll tell you, know, people say you believe in the lost 10 tribes. I was like, no, James 1:1 and Acts 12,
or
John 7:35 talks about the 12 tribes, not 10.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know.
You know. It's, I mean, they'll try to say that's not true. I'll just, you know, like the argue that Pastor mentioned about the preacher that was arguing Acts 2:38, and the guy got up and said he read Acts 2:38. The other
still
guy
there.
Gets up and gives this whole discourse on why baptism is not necessary, and the guy gets back up and rebusts it open to say Acts 2:38. Yep, still there.
Still there. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, and Jesus himself said he came for the lost tribes of the house of Israel. You know, and also what is written there in the Gospels is he came to his own, and his own received him not, you know, because he was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and that covered all 12. Now, some of those that were still there and still around, you know, like the apostles and, and the Apostle Paul in the future, you know. I mean, they came out of the tribe of Judah, you know, and they still knew their identity, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But on a whole, you know, he foreknew what was going to come, and he foreknew that it was going to be 12 lost tribes. They were all lost, you Amen. Know.
And, they take away from the ministry of Paul and even him,
absolutely.
Him himself by saying, you know, oh, the Jews are God's chosen people, or the Jews are the house of Judah. And how would they? And how is that so that they would even backtrack off of the religion of the whole Testament, not just Old and New Testament, which is the religion of Jesus Christ, Christianity, real Christianity at that? You know, how to say such a thing? It's like they diminish. They can't differentiate between Saul and Paul.
Absolutely,
what he was and what he became.
Right. You know, it sums it up. Paul does sum it up at the end of chapter 3 of Galatians when he says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise." You know, and, you know, so if you got some Antichrist running around saying that Jesus isn't the Son of God, are they one of Abraham's seed? No.
You know. Absolutely not. If they're that'd be inherent in the term anti. If that they're antichrist, they're cut off.
Right. My sheep hear me not. Well, Tom, we got one more line ringing. We'll try to get to them. We sure appreciate the call. It's always good to talk to you.
Definitely. Thank you.
All right. Have a great weekend. And got one more caller here. Thanks for holding. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
This is one of the best shows ever.
Well, good morning. Thanks for that. Who are we talking to?
Oh, this is Dom from Maryland.
Dom.
And I got to tell you, a character from Welcome Back, Cotter, Horseshack, went to jump out of his chair and wave his arm around. Ooh, ooh, ooh. So many of the things that you touched on today... Like you were talking this morning about the oceans and everything, one of the key things that I use, to talk about sovereignty, the power and sovereignty of God is he decides which grain of sand that the tide stops at.
Yes.
Which grain of sand? I mean, just wrap your mind around that.
You're right, Dom. You know, here, and we've, you know, Kyle mentioned earlier the good weather we've been having, and we've been having some afternoon storms, but usually the nights have just cleared out, and, well, you know, right now we don't have much of a moon in the stars that you see out here, because we're a good ways out of town.
He knows
them all by name. He does. We were talking to the children about that just last week, that, you know, you look at all these stars, and they are just as far as you can see, and he does, that he's named them all. And I told him, I said, yeah, he's named them like I've named you and talking to my children. And you see the children's eyes just, they're soaking that in. And, you know, oh, that our people would do that, that they would do that when they go to the beach, instead of thinking about just getting drunk on the beach and swimming, you know, if they would do that, look at those grains of sand, you know, and look at those stars in the sky and see that,
how great our God is.
That's right. That's right. And not worship the creation. Not worship those stars. Not worship that beach. But worship the Creator.
I had a few other points that came up. I had recently been visiting, never heard about it before, but they have a denomination called Primitive Baptist. That's supposed to be, like in touch with the old roots, and they don't have daycare. You've got to have screaming children sitting next to you and stuff like that. And they don't have musical instruments, which I think the psaltery and the harp are just fine. But
sure.
Anyway, one of the things that the female caller had brought up with about the wine. Was that they always use real wine, not grape juice, in their communion service after they do a foot washing. I'm still not really, I think the foot washing thing is symbolic, but they think it's literal, but they have an argument with the wine that says that it was between harvest, so it wasn't grape juice because that would have gone bad. It had to be, you know, actual wine.
Well, most of the churches of old, you know, rather that's where they're going back to, most of the churches of old did use wine. Even you can even read in the writings of early church fathers, it was wine, not grape juice. But the Word of God says the fruit of the vine, so both are covered, you know.
Right, yeah. I remember I got originally married to my wife in a Baptist church, and because we had a single glass of champagne to toast the thing, the pastor refused to attend the reception because, oh, we were having a champagne toast.
Yeah, well, that's one thing, you know, Pastor Peters used to say, you know, the Bible doesn't forbid you to take a drink of alcohol. It forbids you to get drunk.
Right.
You know?
Right. And you know, Dom, then there's a pastor that you would think would understand that simple teaching from the Bible. You know, if Christ turned water into wine at a wedding, do you think he would forbid you to drink it? Here he's made the best wine ever, but you can't drink it, you know? No.
You know, and I did like a strong search on wine and drinking years ago, and I read everything, and every time I looked up drink or drunken, there was a phrase that kept coming up, and their hearts were made glad.
Yeah.
Always seemed to come after it.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah, typically wine doesn't put you in a rage.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But before I head off and bless you guys some more and pray for y'all, I want to reinforce what the other caller said. It's 12 tribes. It's
absolutely
not just Jew. And the people that call themselves Jews are not Jews. It's 12 tribes.
Right.
Why don't we ever hear about the other 11? And God bless you, and you have the best weekend ever.
Dom, you too. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, it is 12 tribes.
It is 12 tribes.
Absolutely.
It is.
Yeah, to expound a little bit on what the first call was there, in Isaiah 66, 16 and 17, it says, "For the Lord will execute judgment by fire and by the sword on all flesh, and those slain by the Lord will be many. Those who sanctify and purify themselves to go to the gardens, following one in the center, who eats swine's flesh, detestable things, and mice, will come to an end altogether, declares the Lord." So I think it's more about God says he'll punish their disobedience when our obedience is complete. And even something, you know, as some people would say, insignificant as following the Bible food laws, well, that's still part of our obedience to God.
Well, it goes back to faith. You know, everything we do is supposed to be done in faith. Now, we fail a lot of times, but we don't justify our failures, hopefully. But everything we do has to be done in faith, and that includes wine and grape juice, whichever, you know, and that includes the food law. That includes everything we do. You know, I mean,
yeah.
If you anoint yourself with oil, if you don't have faith, you're wasting your time.
Right.
You know, I mean,
right.
Whatever you do, do it in faith.
Absolutely. You know, we did that yesterday. We anointed a prayer cloth and sent it out to a Christian sister, and we prayed in faith that, as the Bible says, was done of old. You know, when even handkerchiefs that the apostles had touched were placed upon sick people, they were healed. And that's the faith that we had when we pray over a prayer cloth and send it out, that it will carry that same power and it will have that same result to the same glory of Jesus Christ. And it is that way. You know, if we could understand all the reasons why God does what he does and did what he did, and all the if we had a full and complete understanding of all the words in this Bible, you know. Well, the full and complete understanding of why you're not supposed to eat pork is blah, blah. If we understood all of it, we'd be God. And unfortunately, that's how so many of our people think they are today. Because they decide what's right and wrong. Well, I think that if those two men want to do what they do in their own home, then that's, I have no bit trouble with that. So, you know, people decide what's right and wrong today. They become God. You know, there's some things, you know, when you have a when you have children, you don't explain everything out to your two-year-old to about the heat that's in the wood stove, and if they touch it with their hand, it'll burn their hand, and blah, blah, all the, you tell them, no, don't do it. And they learn that, you know, and it's that way with some things in the Word. It's called, like you said, Kyle, it's called faith. The Word says it, so believe it.
Yeah, and you'll learn why through the years. You usually do.
Yeah, you usually do.
Whether it's through hard knocks or just growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord.
Right.
You
look at our people, and so many of the health diseases of Egypt have come upon our people. And you know, the pastor used to talk about it. The people that because most of the people eat pork, and most of the people are overweight, and have those jaws underneath their chin. Like a big old hog. You know? And how many times would the pastor point that out? He'd just go ahead and keep on with those pork chops. And, oh man, love that bacon in the morning. Eat you a whole pack. And you'll start looking like those hogs you're eating, you know? And I remember him bringing that up time and time again. And, you know, our Heavenly Father loves us. He wants us to be healthy. And you know, that's at least one of the reasons. Do we have a full understanding? No, we still see through the glass darkly.
Yeah.
But we do have some understanding.
And don't you can abuse, you know, such like the subject of wine, you can abuse those things. That, you know, I mean, it tells the women in there. I know one of the, you know, it tells the women how they are supposed to be. They're supposed to stay at home. They're supposed to teach the younger girls how to love and respect their husbands. And, you know, and they're supposed to, you know, they have a job to do. And then it gives, I'm not there right now. I don't know where it is exactly. But then it tells them, don't be given over to much wine. You know, I mean, it doesn't say stay away from wine completely. It says don't be. It's all done with moderation.
Moderation,
you know.
Moderation. Well,
yeah, I don't know if you guys,
yeah, John,
you guys saw this week, but Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg performed, I think, the first wedding officiated by a gay marriage officiated by the Supreme Court, marrying Michael M. Kaiser. And John Roberts. Is that John Roberts of the Supreme Court?
No.
Oh, okay. But anyways, this Saturday, August 31st, claiming that the Constitution is genius and equality has always been, we've always looked at it as for women and for race, but it's for all people, including the homosexuals. And
yeah, that's why George Washington did all that he did and agreed to be president and prayed the blessings that he did on America so that he could marry Thomas Jefferson. What a crock of horse manure, you know? But it's by their fruits you shall know them. The Bible, let's see. Is the Bible still here? Yeah, the Bible's here. Let's see. For this reason, even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God. That's Romans 1:21. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural, and in the same way the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. So there you go, Ginsburg. You can maybe be a Supreme Court justice, but you're an antichrist as big as the rest of them. And it's still a depravity. It's still an abomination to God, no, even if the Supreme Court justice agrees to it. Well, let's go to the phone lines. Oh, well, caller, you just have to call back.
They probably threw their phone, you know, because, you know, when John brings that up, it, you know, kind of...
It riles them up sometimes. Might have been. Might have been.
We had, you know...
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, we had, you know, a gay president, you know, I mean, married to a man. Do you remember Bill and Hillary? Wasn't she a man? As close to George and Tom as you can get there.
Go ahead, John. We'll turn it back over to you.
Yeah, I was reading in Daniel 11 this week. Well, actually, a whole chapter of Daniel, but anyways, starting in verse 36. Then the king will do as he pleases, and he will exalt and magnify himself above every god, and will speak monstrous things against the God of gods. And he will prosper until the indignation is finished, for that which is decreed will be done. He will show no regard for the gods of his fathers or for the desire of woman. Never saw that before. But it goes along with what's going on with all this homosexuality. And
you know, whenever you watch some of those old shows with a Caesar or some freaky king, they're always up to that kind of garbage.
They always have been. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Because they have a depraved mind. Yeah. God gives that over to them. And, you know, in other cultures are that way. The Eastern culture, you know. I think we've reported on it before, but there's been things that have come out in the military that now that we're, you know, we just are there in Afghanistan and Iraq and places like that, that our military is not to speak out against homosexuality because it's part of their culture. It's part of the Eastern culture, you know. Pedophilia is part of the Eastern culture. It's okay. Didn't Mohammed take a young girl for a wife? I mean, a pre-teenager for a wife? You call it whatever you want to call it. It's called pedophilia. It's wicked and evil. It is from a depraved mind because they do not acknowledge God, the true God. But it's part of their culture. And we see it seeping in here time and time and time again. And we're told throughout the Bible that we're not to be like all the other people. That we are to be a peculiar people to him. And we certainly are. All you have to do is look around and see how peculiar we are as a people. But we're not to be like all the other peoples and have all their other sins. It talks about, you know, that's why in the days of old, those people were driven out of the land of Canaan and places like that because of their depravity.
And that's why we're told, if you're not for me, you're against me. Because, you know, you get all these so-called good people, what people say are good people, and they're not for Christ. So they allow all this stuff to come in.
Right.
You know, because they're not going to judge, and they're not going to, you know, they're going to be tolerant or whatever they're going to be, you know, because they're a good person. But if they're not for Christ and his teachings, they're against him.
They are. Bottom line. Well, let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard.
Hey, good morning. Hey, if you got the radio on, you got to turn that off. Or we'll
it's
start
the internet.
Well, you got to. Mute that speaker or something.
I got it shut off.
All right. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I just think about you guys. Thought I'd give you a call.
Appreciate it.
Sitting here in Alaska going, I know they're up.
What time is it there?
Yeah, what time is it there, Howard?
It's 5:43.
Whew. Well, we know you're up, too.
Yeah, well, truck all night.
Of course, it never gets dark there, so.
Sleep all day.
There you go.
Just want to let you know, appreciate you guys. I've been praying for you. Been listening to you all week. So
thank you.
Yeah, sure.
I went and downloaded all your stuff, 770s and Solutions and Gideon's Armory. And so been having a good week listening.
Well, appreciate it, Howard. Glad to hear that from all the way up in Alaska.
Yeah. But anyhow, God bless, and we'll keep listening and praying for you guys.
Hey, thanks a lot. You have a great weekend.
Okay, talk to you later.
All right, bye-bye.
That was kind.
It was. So from Maryland, from Texas, Oklahoma, Alaska this morning, how about that? Kind of all over. Good to hear from Howard. Howard was he's from Alaska or up in Alaska now, and he sent us a picture. He was back in, I think it was Maine this summer, and baptized. Who was that, John? Was that his son or
brother.
Just a friend, his brother?
I think it was a nephew or something.
Yeah, that he baptized, sent us a nice picture.
He baptized several people up there.
Yeah.
Didn't quite get the two brothers that he was looking for, but, Lord willing, next time.
Yeah. So and send us a picture of that, and you know, that's a praise report. I guess we should continue to give is that we do. We continue to hear of additional baptisms. We continue to get requests for baptisms from all over. And if we have an Acres of Diamonds man or a Christian family that we know of in your area, we'll sure try to get you set up with that to get them baptized. We did that out in Massachusetts not too long ago with the Rich up there on the East Coast.
Well, you think about it. You know, if you're a Bible thumper in whatever subject you go to, I mean, whether you're on the subject of faith or works or redemption or salvation, I mean, whatever subject you go to, baptism will pop up, you know, because you can't be redeemed. I mean, if you're into just getting into the Israel truth, and you're reading about, well, how are they redeemed? And if you don't, if baptism doesn't pop up, something's wrong. I mean, it should pop. It pops up all over the place. That's why when you read certain people's books, you know, whether it's about the kingdom of God or whatever it's about, and they don't address baptism in it, I mean, you know they're lacking something, you know, knowledge, you know, that they should have, you know. Now, rather just, yeah, it's a Shibboleth test, absolutely. Yep. Now, whether they get it later or they never get it, that's to be determined. But at almost every subject that I can even think of, you know, that's a big subject anyway, you know, the gospel message. I mean, whatever subject, it just, there it is.
What about, the people coming out of Egypt, Moses leading them out of Egypt. What about that?
Yeah, you know, you can read about that in 1 Corinthians.
You can. That they were all baptized under the sea and, yeah, you know, under the cloud. And you're right, it is.
And even going, you know, in 1 Peter, it likens baptism to the water of Noah's day, you know, because the water is what saved Noah. You know, everybody says the ark saved him, which the ark can represent Christ, and that was a huge part of it. But it was the water that destroyed the sin in the land. You know, it wiped it out. It drowned it, or whatever it did to it. You know, it was the water that destroyed the sin. And what is it in baptism that, you know, destroys the sin? It is the cleansing power of that act. You know, that's how you contact the blood of Christ.
Amen.
You know, we don't put physical blood all over us. No, the Bible tells you how to contact the blood, and it is through the going down into the water, you know. But anyway, just about every
read
subject.
Over and over about getting your name in the book, you know, and even in Daniel 12 says, "Now at that time, Michael the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people will arise, and there will be a time of distress that has never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued."
Yeah.
I believe that's the Lamb's Book of Life.
It is. It is. And how do we, you know, we're to abide in him and him to abide in us. And the only way you get that is through baptism. That is that door. That is that entryway. You know, if we will share in his death, we get to share in the glory of his resurrection. And the flip side of that is true as well. If we will not share in his death, we don't get to share in the glory of his resurrection.
Yeah.
You know? Many will say, "Lord, oh Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name, and we built churches in your name, and we went to Mexico and dug wells in your name, and you know, we did all this stuff in your name," and he's gonna say, "I never knew you. Yeah. Depart from me. I never knew you."
Or you can stand there before God and say, "I am of Abraham's seed," just like they did in front of Christ.
And he said, if you were Abraham's seed, you would do the deeds of Abraham.
Absolutely. And we read about that in Galatians 3. You know, we read about, you know, if you're Abraham's seed, you're going to be baptized. That's what it says in Galatians 3:27, you know. But anyway.
Yep. Well, this is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, this first full Saturday in September. September 7th, and we are coming to you live from the Radio Ranch just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. And before the hour runs out, we do want to invite you to church tomorrow. You can come to church many ways. If you're in La Porte, stop by. Give us a call. Let us know you're coming. we'd appreciate that. But if you want to stop by physically.
Yeah, we need to know that it'll lock the doors or.
Yeah. And but if you're at home, you can come right on the internet. You can go to our website, scripturesforamerica.org, and starting at 10 a.m. Sunday morning, click on the live video stream and join us for church. And I think tomorrow Kyle's got a scriptural insight and study, and that'll fire up at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. And after that, John will have a welcome and always has some words of wisdom for us and some scripture verses. And he'll do a good welcome, and then Shan and I will have some songs for us. And then Kyle, you've got communion tomorrow, I think.
Yes, sir.
I think so. So Kyle will bring a communion message. And then at the top of the hour, we'll have a message by Pastor Peters. I've mentioned it before, but I know I find myself taking more notes.
Yeah.
And they are meaning more now. And, you know, looking at being here in the mailroom, looking at the mail that comes in, the emails that come in, that's how the majority of the remnant look at it as well. They see that as these, messages that were done sometimes 20, 25 years ago, we're seeing how prophetic they were, and how the things that were warned about then many of them have come to pass.
Well, it's just like what we were talking about earlier. As you grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, things that you heard 20 years ago will have way more meaning now.
More application.
Than they did.
You may not have been baptized when you heard it.
You might not have, yeah.
Didn't have that gift of the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
Very good points. So we do. We invite you to church tomorrow. And so.
You got a good intro? You got a good intro tomorrow?
Everything else. What's that?
I said you got a good intro tomorrow?
Yes, sir.
All right. Something to.
Lord willing.
Thought provoking.
Lord willing. But, it's just this whole Jesuit Catholic Church thing is just a rabbit trail. And you find yourself just caught up in it, really. And, I don't know, last night I was still working on it till wee into the morning, just leading one thing to another, to another, to another. But there's big things on the horizon, as far as I can tell.
Yeah. You know, me and Richard were talking yesterday. You know, the beast, the Antichrist beast that you can read about there in the first part of Revelation 13, it has seven heads. And there's lots, mm-hmm. And I believe the Catholic Church, or at least the part of that is one of those heads.
Absolutely.
You know? And, so.
Well, the Vatican's on seven hills, too. Remember that?
Well, it is. Yeah. I mean, there's lots of what the world would call coincidences that aren't coincidences. The colors, the purple, the scarlet and the purple. I mean, all that stuff, it plays a role. But, so some people out there, they think this is it or that is it. And the truth of the matter is, it's all probably it. You know, I mean, it all connects.
It is.
You know?
It does.
Right.
That's why those stinking popes are wearing the little beanies on their head. You think they're not in bed with the great horror of, those that say they're Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. I mean, it's all tied together. You know, but anyway.
And then you look, just this week, like I said, it's a rabbit trail, but find out that the world's most powerful infrared telescope on a 10,000-foot mountain in Tucson, Arizona, is owned by the Jesuits and run by a Jesuit priest, and they named it Lucifer.
And they're keeping an eye on the black hole there in the south. What are they doing with that thing?
Well, they're watching the heavens is what they're watching. But it's significant that all ties into that first Jesuit pope. First Jesuit ever. And the first pope ever to assume the name Francis. And if you look into the name Francis, there's significance there too. So stay tuned tomorrow, and Lord willing, I'll be showing you what's going on with that.
Well, Kyle, you asked him.
Yeah,
I think he gave a good teaser out. good Lord willing, I'll be there with pen and paper and taking notes. So, like we said, we encourage you to be there as well. Come to church with us. The Bible says not to forsake the fellowship. And pastor understood many years ago that, you know, the remnant is scattered. We understand that. Kyle and I talked about that, and you know, we talk about that many times because we've been out there. We've been part of that scattered remnant where you're out there with either no fellowship or very little fellowship, and
or wrong fellowship,
or the wrong fellowship. Yeah. And that's one reason that the pastor had worked so hard to build this foundation and to build this ministry the way it is with these broadcasts. You know, these broadcasts are not free. The internet is not free to broadcast and to archive on. And the shortwave station is certainly not. But he understood that it was a way to provide fellowship for the remnant. And the same thing with the live church streaming, the live video streaming from the church. I think we were one of the first, if not the first, church in this country to stream live. Now, many churches would record their broadcast and show it later on public TV or on their local TV channel or something like that, or even show it on the internet later. But to shoot it live and just to stream it live as it's happening, it's not inexpensive, but again, the pastor saw that it was a way to provide the type of fellowship that we can right now in this Babylon that we find ourselves in. And so
the thing our pastor did too, though, is he always went forward in faith. He never spent time worrying about whether he could pay the bills or keep things going. And it's God's ministry, and if God wants it to continue, then it'll continue. And that's the attitude that we have too.
Amen. And we see it continuing, and we see it growing, and we see more people coming to the understanding of the Anglo-Israel message, of who the true people of the Bible are. Not only who Esau Edom is, but who the ancient Israelites, the Hebrews, people like David and Abraham and Jacob, who they are. And you know, as was mentioned earlier in James, when it writes to the dispersion.
I had some fun this week. Basically, I was talking with some local pastors that we see every now and then at some sporting events, and got to talking about Halley's Bible Handbook and how in 1961 Billy Graham bought the rights and removed, you know, 200 pages of truth, including church history and the warnings against the Catholic Church and the Jesuits. And they looked at me like I had horns on my head. And the one gets on his phone and he starts looking it up on Google or whatever, and he goes, "Wow, you're right." and then I go, "I know I'm right." I said, "I'm telling you. Billy Graham did more to destroy true Christianity in this country than probably any one man." And he says, "Well, for that to be true, he would have had to be a deceiver." And I go, "Now you're kidding."
Yeah, hello.
Right, imagine that.
"He would have had to have been a deceiver." And I'm thinking, holy cow, is it that bad? Yeah, I guess it is.
It is, it is. But, you know, you plant those seeds. And and some of those seeds, they might be as tiny, like that tiny mustard seed, and grow into, you know, one of the biggest trees there is. Well, guys, we're out of time. John, thanks for joining us on Coffee with the Wranglers. Kyle, thanks for coming out to the ranch this morning, and we thank you, Remnant. We're going to go out with this song. We always enjoyed it. If you want to write to us, our address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535.
Rolling, stay high. Ha!
Ha!
Keep rolling, though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make 'em health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, that's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move 'em out, head 'em off, head 'em off, big high.
Ride 'em out, ride 'em more, ride 'em more, ride 'em out, ride 'em out, ride 'em more.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them,
just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake hide. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, snake hide.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.